come the Hawks. That's right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5 a.m. And it's 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in. One artist, two songs. You program the bumps, and we'll do them a little bit later on. 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in at 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for your 2 for Tuesday requests. We're also going to talk about the most nail-biting sporting events that you've ever been to. Sports games that were that almost gave you a heart attack. And I'm referring to last night's Cub game in the bottom of the ninth inning, which was I was Fred Sanford for most of that half inning. So we'll talk about that, your most memorable, the most nail-biting sports events. And we're going to play another edition of the aggravating SNL quiz game with Dan and Esmeralda. But right now, we would like to welcome to the show the co-host of the Blackhawks Crazy podcast, a writer for Chelsea Blogger, both of which are available at WGNRadio.com. And we want to welcome to the show Scott King to talk Blackhawks and other stuff. Let's welcome Scott to the show. Hey, Scott, welcome.
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm hanging in my basement.
Oh, good. That's a good place to be.
It is relaxing. You can talk sports in it, not wake up your family. It's nice.
Yeah, very, very cool. So you, with Mike Jacobson, you co-host the Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Tell everybody about it.
Yeah, it's just a podcast we've been doing. We actually just started our third season, run the second episode, and today was actually the 50th episode overall. We had Brian Bickle call in, so everyone can find that on WGNRadio.com. It's also available on iTunes. It's a lot of fun. We keep things light. You know, we'll throw some stats in there, talk about anything big that happens, but we're kind of trying to educate fans and not scare them away with too much information. So it's definitely a fun hang, and we keep it short, too, for people.
Well, what was it like talking to Bickle about – I mean, did you guys talk about the tribute they did for him?
Yeah, that was the thing I asked him right off the top, actually. With that, he said, you know, I thought him and his wife did a really good job. I thought they looked kind of calm and natural on stage. He said he was really nervous,
yeah.
And so was she, which I can imagine, but it didn't look to me like he was. And – no, that was a good interview. I was really happy with it. I think he's actually – I always liked talking to Brian. When I first started on the Hawks beat, I covered them for Red Eye first and Yahoo Sports, then the Tribune in 2015 and some other outlets. But Brian was always a guy I would go to when I started. He's just a super nice guy. And I actually think he talks a little more now, and he's a little more open about things because he's not playing anymore.
Yeah. No, he was always. I've interviewed Bix many times, and he's actually one of the best interviews that you can have in a Hawks uniform. One of the other interviews that always was great to have is no longer a Hawk, and that's Jalmerson, Nicholas Jalmerson, who's always hilarious whenever you interview him. He's great, but we'll get to that in a little bit. The Jalmerson and the trades and all that stuff, and we want to talk about what a weekend the Hawks had. Talking about all the changes and stuff, and also the draft itself being hosted here in Chicago. But I want to talk to you a little bit about your background. You also do some writing, and you're a comedian as well.
Yeah, I kind of like to still maybe think of myself as a comedian. I haven't performed in maybe 2 years, but I did it for about a decade. And the last 2 years that I was doing stand-up, I was producing shows too. It's actually the first comedian to perform at the Laugh Factory in Lakeview, and I booked a bunch of shows and helped run the club for the first few months of operation there, and a couple of years I was producing shows at the Congress Theater too. So yeah, did stand for a while, really enjoyed it, and I always wanted to be a writer and a comedian, and the writing just started to go a lot better for me. And hockey is my favorite sport, and I love it. Obviously, love covering the Blackhawks at this point in time.
Yeah, well, that's cool. And I understand that you just recently you're going to start writing for Norm Macdonald Live as a contributing writer.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I know that you got a shout out from him, Nick, and that was a pretty cool thing, a big moment for you for the Walk of Fame. Congrats on that.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, and I couldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the Norm Macdonald thing was a joke, and it wasn't. I was. I mean, for those people who don't know, Norm Macdonald, the actual Norm Macdonald, tweeted on his Twitter page a shout out and a congratulations to me on my Walk of Fame induction, and I was just like, what? So. That was
like another like Hall of Fame thing right there. I mean, that's almost as cool. I think the WGN Walk of Fame is awesome.
Yeah.
That's like, to me, Norm is like, he's always been the funniest guy in the world, I think. But that, yeah, no, I don't know if you remember when he had his sports show on Comedy Central, Nick.
Yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
So what happened is I just started writing sports at that time. It was like 2011, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was still doing stand-up. So I just, on Facebook, I found one of the producers kept sending him messages. I'm a comedian and a sports writer. I love to write for the show. So I started sending jokes into that show. I don't think I got any on. It only lasted two seasons. And I saw he's doing his podcast. I got a hold of the same kind of people, and I've been submitting jokes, and it actually seems like some might get on. And I've already written for a few shows, but they've been on a hiatus, and I guess I saw one of the producers, Daniel Callison, posted a message on Twitter that they have an announcement to make on July 11th with the future of the show, and I know they got a bunch of great guests, and you know, we don't know anything more than the fans, but maybe the show is going from YouTube to some kind of other platform. I think it could only be good news because I don't think I'm allowed to say the guests, but they have some incredible guests, some icons that hopefully I wrote jokes for. So
oh, very we'll cool, see. Man. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. Norm MacDonald's one of the funniest people on the planet. And as far as I'm concerned, the best Weekend Update anchor of all time. So.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting. I think the last few years people have kind of come around to saying that. Like before, I think people just didn't get him.
Yeah.
But I think people really came around and realized how smart and funny he is now.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. All right, well, let's talk about the weekend that the Blackhawks had, shall we? Let's begin with, it all started with an announcement last week that Marian Hossa, well, first the announcement was he may or may not retire or take a year off. That was the first announcement. The next morning, it was made official that he indeed was going to take the year off because of a skin condition, an allergic reaction to the equipment and a skin condition. I've never heard of that before. What have you guys found out about Marian and his condition and what's going on there?
Well, yeah, it sounds, you know, a couple of my colleagues had heard about this, that he had this. They knew about it for a couple seasons, and I guess it's just gotten worse and worse, and guys did stories on Tom Reed was a defenseman with the Hawks and some other teams in the 70s, and a lot of guys had this, and he was one of them. And what you'd have to do for treatment is you have to get cortisone shots and steroid shots, and that's really bad for you. It takes years off your life. So I think the side effects are bad. Marion and I think Quinville, who actually knew of it and was talking about it, said that it could be really uncomfortable and painful, but also just, you know, the treatment's the scary thing. And I guess Hossa's doctors are kind of trying to get him not to do that anymore. So they said he's definitely not going to play next season, and who knows what's next after that.
Yeah. He's my favorite Hawk, and this destroyed me when I heard this.
Oh, God, man, yeah.
Yeah, and I just – it's crazy that, you know, we get that news, and I was just so sad when I heard about it. So have you guys interviewed Marian at all?
No, the day before the draft, Stan Bowman talked and Quinville talked, and they talked about the situation, but I guess maybe the host's agent or somebody reached out to us, to the media, and said that he's not going to be talking, and that makes sense. You know, it's a sensitive thing. I'm sure he doesn't like, you know, whether the Hawks approached him and said, you know, look, we know you have this and we're up against the cap, or if he just said, you know, I'm only making – $1 million salary every year for the next 4 years, and this thing is bothering me, and it's not worth it. I already won 3 cups, and I'm going to be in the Hall of Fame. You can't blame him either way for the situation.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, and yeah, he's a private guy, so I don't think there's, you know, much he would want to say about it.
Yeah, that's true, and you know, he's 38, and you know, there's only a few more years left. I mean, he had a great season this you know, in 2016-17.
Yeah,
he was a great season, and that's what's even more heartbreaking about it is that he's 38 and he's still got a few more years in him, and you know, maybe the year off will do him good. I don't know. I would love to see him come back.
I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah.
That's just my initial reaction. I know that's what a lot of people kind of are reading from this. And no, you're exactly right. He had a fantastic year last year, Nick. He had 26 goals and. Don't forget, I think he more than half the season that there's a third liner too, you know, so who knows if he would have been rejoining the first line or second line later in the season last year. He maybe could add over 30 goals the age of 37, 38 there. So now I think it's kind of, you're probably going to see them, they kind of have to now place them on long-term injured reserve And I don't know if he comes back from this. It's hard to tell, but once you're kind of gone from something like this and you're forced out for a little bit, it's unlikely that you come back, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's doubtful as well. I just, I've got that little glimmer of hope because he's my favorite Hawk. So that's, you know.
And I'm right there with you. We're all supposed to be unbiased, and it looks like a lot of my colleagues seem so upset by this because, we just like talking to him so much. He's such a nice guy, and you do root for people when they're nice and they play the game the right way and they play hard. And, yeah. And he's a guy who, when my daughter was born, he congratulated me. I know he asked other people how their kids are. Super nice to everybody. We'll talk to whoever forever in the locker room. Just a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I've had the chance of interviewing him, talking to him as well, and he's great. He's awesome, and I wish him the best, and I hope his health improves. And if he doesn't come back to the ice, he got three cups with us. Which is nice. And, I don't know. He's one of those guys, when everyone on the ice, something happened, he made something happen. Every single time, every shift, he made something happen. And I just...
100%.
Yeah, he's amazing. Okay, hang on, okay?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Scott, hold on a second. Scott King is with us. He is the co-host of Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. It's available at WGNRadio.com. They are on episode 2 of season 3, and they're all available there. And you can check out the Chelsea Blogger as well. And you can follow Scott on Twitter at Scott King Media. We'll come back. We'll talk more, and we'll get into the draft situation, the trades, and some of the other moves that the Hawks made over this very busy weekend, this past weekend. So we'll take a break, and we'll come back more, talk some more Blackhawks right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Well, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, talking a little Blackhawks with Scott King, co-host of the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. It's 312-981-7200, talk and text. Also, if you want to get your 2 for Tuesday requests in, one artist, two songs, you get it. Program them now, 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Scott back. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott King Media, and also the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast and Chelsea Blogger, both available at WGNRadio.com. Scott, welcome back, man.
Thanks. Hey, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
To start this segment, you interview him when he was in town promoting gigs? How does he know you enough to honor you that way?
Dude, this is the craziest thing. I've never interviewed him.
What?
I've never interviewed him. I've never met him. I never interviewed him. All of a sudden, that morning, I look on my news feed, and there it is.
That's unreal.
Isn't it crazy?
I think he is a radio fan. He's probably just a fan of yours.
That's why I thought it was fake, because I was like, I've never interviewed him. I never met him. I've talked about him on the show many times. I talked about him on the show many times because he's hilarious and I love him.
Yeah, that probably got back to him, too.
I guess.
I know he's a loyal guy when people praise him like that. So that's either one. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was so cool, man. It was really, really cool. Okay, so on the heels of the Hossa news that we just discussed came the draft and many, many changes. And I know you got to trust in Bowman. In Bowman we trust. Everybody says that. But this weekend was a little crazy for me. What do you think of some of the change some of the trades and the changes that they made?
Yeah, look, I'm at my house. We're lucky enough to have our parents babysitting. My wife and I work, so I'm getting ready to go. And as I'm leaving the house to go cover my first draft and the first draft in Chicago, which I'm already looking forward to, I see on Twitter, I'm getting the emails that Yarmolson's traded. And you knew with the cap situation, it was either going to be him or Seabrook probably.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking like, okay, this is really happening. And you just – the return – guys like Connor Murphy, who's a defenseman who's played a lot of games with the Coyotes, some okay numbers. I think 49 points in 258 games in Phoenix with the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. But he's a minus 30, and that's not a minus isn't the best stat for a defenseman, a plus minus rating. But
yeah,
and he could be on a bad team. But there's just not enough to go by. This guy has to prove himself as a Hawk before he can judge the return. They also get a forward and Laurent Dauphin, I think is how you say his name. And, and he's only played in 32 games, only has 4 points. So he's 22 years old only, the forward. So he's still kind of a prospect. You don't even know if he'll probably be one of those guys rotating in with the Hawks. So it's just going to take some time to see if the return from Yarmolson's any good. And that one stings because you're losing a guy not only like Hossa, a three-time Cup champion, but he's a heart and soul guy who would do anything to block any shot at any time. And
That's a guy
where your leaders, like your Taveses, like your Keats and Seabrooks, that guy means a lot on the ice. He means a lot in the locker room.
I agree with you 100%. So, and he's fearless on the ice. Absolutely fearless.
More than I actually interviewed Jamal Mares at the draft for the story I did on the trades, also on WGNRadio.com.
Yeah.
To get the plug in there. But Mares said that, you know, he had a nice long career, Jamal Mares. And he said there were only a few guys that he could even compare to the same toughness level as Yarmolson. So that one hurts. And then when you break down, you know, straight up, as Mike Jacobson put on our show today, I thought was a good way to put it, star power for star power in the Saad Panarin trade.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's rough for the fans, I understand, because Panarin started to get marketed as, and it was a successful campaign, as one of the faces of the team almost.
Yep.
Basically, it was playing like the Russian Patrick Kane for 2 years. But a lot of fans, especially younger fans, started to like him. But I think that one, that trade, I thought about a lot, and I will say even I like the trade because, first of all, what you're missing the last 2 years and why the Hawks didn't get past round one is because Taves couldn't get going, and not just to put it all on him, but they just didn't have a complete top line that could compete against the other team's top lines. And when Saad was here in 2015 and 2014, 2013, obviously that's when they were successful and the team was really rolling. Four lines because they could start with that Taves line, and Saad is a guy who would go to the net, get pucks in, play physically. So he's that guy you're missing that you need to get Taves going. And Panarin, look, you know, he was Rookie of the Year. He helped Kane elevate his game, get Kane's game to another level, obviously, when Kane won the Hart Trophy, and their numbers were excellent last year too. But 2 years in a row, Panarin disappeared in the playoffs also.
Yeah.
So – And you know, he should probably have a good career. Panarin's a dynamic, fantastic player. I was someone who was arguing against all the people saying that his numbers were just good because of Kane. He obviously has a ton of skill. He's a very skilled player. But the truth is, Patrick Kane can play with just about anybody. And even we've seen win a Stanley Cup with pretty much anybody at that other wing, especially now that he still has Artem Anisimov from the first side trade as his center, a big body who will crash the net to win faceoffs. So I think the trade, you know, the side for Panarin created a lot more balance, and I think it's actually going to put the team in better shape.
Yeah, I agree with you. It took me a little while because I really liked Panarin, and I liked the chemistry that was happening between him and Kane. They really worked well together.
It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what can you say about Brandon Saad? Brandon Saad, as you mentioned, I mean, he's much more experienced, has skated with Kane many times. And I think Brandon Saad's terrific. So it is, you know, it kind of hurts that we're losing the kid, but we got Brandon Saad back, which is a great move, I think.
Yeah, I think it worked out in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about the first choice for their draft?
You know, it was interesting. I kind of took a shot in the dark, and I thought they were going to get this 6'6 defenseman. They were going to pick him first, named Hogg. I think it's how you say his last name, Nicholas Hogg.
Mm-hmm.
6'6", 215, and he's one of the more offensive defensemen. And I knew they were going to draft a lot of defensemen. And so I'm seeing all the draft picks go down. I know he's still ranked pretty high. I think they're going to get him and then get this guy from Finland.
Right.
That I actually didn't do a lot of research on, but it seems he's – like he's really happy to be in Chicago and to join the Hawks, you know, who wouldn't be, all these kids were. But he, when you ask him to describe his game, he is definitely the type of player, and the scouting reports say the same thing, that the Hawks can utilize. He's a puck carrying defenseman. He's a guy they need. They haven't had that can quarterback on a power play and a fast skater. So I think, his name's Henry Yokoharu.
Mm-hmm.
They got him at the 29th pick in the first round. I think that, I don't know if you're going to see him this year, even if he has a really good camp. You'll probably see him next year. But he's a guy that Hawks fans might get to see a bit.
Yeah. And he's only 18. So, you know he's a kid.
These guys are kids.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, they're really young.
I know. So what was it like, Scott, covering the draft? Was it awesome?
Yeah, I've been telling everybody. It's first of all, the Hawks, United Center, the NHL, and the police and everyone, it was so fun. They had a ton of stuff outside for the fans.
Yeah.
I thought the floor looked awesome. Like I said, it was my first draft.
Yeah.
And so everything was just set up to look really nice. There's a lot of people there. But my favorite thing, Nick, about getting to do this, and I've covered every sport in Chicago, but football, I've covered almost every sport. The best thing about covering sports is seeing the raw emotion you get after a game, a tough loss or a great win in the locker room.
Yeah.
This is the best raw emotion I've ever seen. When you see an 18-year-old kid get drafted by the Chicago Blackhawks,
yeah. It,
literally, the kid, probably my favorite moment was on Saturday. They drafted a kid, Evan Barrett, from Bristol, Pennsylvania, in the third round. And he was crying, saying that, you know, he can't, you know, he just can't believe that a kid from Bristol, Pennsylvania can get drafted and get a look from the Blackhawks. And that's, you know, that's, it was really, really cool to see a nice, humble kid kind of have that mean that much to him.
Yeah.
It was just an awesome weekend. I really enjoyed the draft.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And by the way, as we all know, as far as I'm concerned, the Blackhawks are the best organization in professional sports. They know how to do it. You know, you got McDonough, you got Rocky, you got Jay Blanc. These guys know how to do it. And since they came over and took over for the Hawks, they've, you know, it's the best professional team in sports, as far as I'm concerned. So.
And a good example of that is having the decision to have Kanan Taves call the first pick for the Hawks.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, marketing and what's the best move. How do we look the best? What will the fans like the most? Exactly. That's what makes the Hawks the best at doing that.
Yep. Yep. Hey, man, great job. Thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it. And everybody
thanks,
can check
thanks.
Out the Blackhawks Crazy podcast, which is at WGNRadio.com. You got 2 episodes from season 3 up and ready to go, and you guys will be doing more and covering Blackhawks throughout the year. Scott, always a pleasure. We'll get you back on to talk about Hawks again in the future, okay?
And some Norm.
Norm, yeah. All right, man. Let's do it.
All right, Nick.
All right, Scott, take care.
Man.
Yeah, later. There you go. Scott King, everybody. He is the co-host of the Blackhawks Crazy podcast. He writes for Chelsea Blogger, and both of which are available at WGNRadio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott King Media. Scott King Media. All right, we'll take a break. We've got the news coming up, and then after the news, crazy, crazy Cub game last night, and we're going to talk about some of the most crazy, nail-biting, suspenseful sports events you've ever been to. And we'll do that right after the news.